It is time now for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, where we're joined by John and Janet from the Lakeville Journal. Of course, you can get copies of the Lakeville Journal throughout our tri-state region. You can also see their companion website, tricornernews.com, to find out the Lakeville Journal and also the Millerton News. And we say good morning and Happy New Year to John and Janet. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
All right. It's between this and that and everything.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you don't have any idea how clever you are, because it's actually about to be New Year's on the Julian calendar.
All right.
So there you go. Happy New Year.
Happy Julian New Year.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Well, it's I think this is an issue where there is a lot of looking back over the year and also other stories. One of the first stories we'll talk about, John, is Patrick Sullivan's story on housing, the cost of living, all this on the legislative radar.
Yeah, we took a look here at Maria Horn and Stephen Harding as they start their work this year in the legislature in Hartford, and give them a sense of time to talk about what they're focused on, what they think the legislature is going to focus on, and both cases, housing and the cost of living, seem to be on the front burner. We also identify, what committees they're on and what they think about the various issues. So it's a nice walk up to 2023, and this will be a long session this year because they're going to create a budget.
This is a session where they really earn their money. It really is. This is a tough session for them.
By planning our money, taxpayers' money.
I don't think people realize that there's years where there's short sessions, portions of the year, and then the long sessions. What's a nice story by Lila Hawken, and I've talked about these two and about the Share and Connect Task Force. Till I've been blue in the face because they've done such a great job. Two who spurred internet access for all in Sharon.
This story is really, as you say, it's a wonderful story about volunteerism and what it means to the community. Sharon is so lucky, the Connect Task Force is so lucky to have had Megan Flanagan and Jill Drew working for the town to bring internet access. And what Lila has done is sort of taken a nice long look at how these two got interested, what drove them, the process they went through. So it's really not only a nice profile of two very, very strong volunteer examples, but it also is a good history record for how this town has done it. And the next step will be, they haven't done it yet, but they're just probably about to hire the person who will manage this Comcast internet installation, and so that's around the corner. So it's a very timely story, and again, as you pointed out, it looks a little bit back at last year and all the way back to 2019 and then forward.
When you look at the story and you compare what's going on in Falls Village, where Falls Village is a smaller town, and they do have people that aren't served by internet service, but they also do have people, a much larger percentage of their population than Sharon is covered by Comcast. But over the past, I'll say, 3 months, a plan has come up and been talked about. People don't realize, and John, you just pointed out how long the Sharon Connect Task Force has been working and how open they have been with the public and how the public has been included in every stitch of this plan. Really, it's a blueprint for towns that aren't well served with internet access and the way you go about doing it. It's not easy and it's not short, but it's been successful.
Right, and just to mention quickly that on January 20th, Falls Village is going to have a meeting to discuss a frontier proposal for optic fiber.
Yeah. All right. COVID-19 cases surge.
It doesn't go away. Yeah. As of the turn of the year, Litchfield County was among, a handful of counties that are in the high orange category, and everybody is getting tired of it, but the case positivity rate has nearly doubled since Thanksgiving. So while we tend to relax and think that it's behind us. Every time you turn around, you find somebody else you know who just got COVID.
Yeah, and right above that, a nice little story about a Housatonic graduate being honored by Ann McNeil at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
This is Sydney Sagala, yeah. Who is a graduate of HUSI and was on the last week that there was a game at the school. The Mountaineers were playing, and at the beginning of the game, Ann McNeil handed over Sydney's trophy, which was the 2021-22 Gatorade Player of the Year for her performance on track last year. So it was it's just truly that story also is accompanied by actually a Mountaineers game story as well in photos. But it is, you know, she set new records and she did it with poise and with, as the story points out, tremendous attitude.
Yeah. Absolutely, and a picture of the fabled West Cornwall covered bridge, where it's reopened at least part time while construction goes on to repair the damage.
Right. This people are quite baffled by how this happened, but the Gordon Ridgway even commented at the first selectmen's meeting that just don't understand how after hearing the noises you kept on going and went all the way through the bridge. Damaging the cross beams, the joists across the top. But the bridge is now open during the hours of the day when they are not working on it, and the expectation is that it will be back, you know, fully operational within a week or something like that. Never want to say when, but it's on its way to being repaired.
You know, and you point out something that's so true. People don't understand when people don't read the signs anyway, and they enter the bridge and they can't, they do damage. But the real puzzling part is, and it really is a puzzling part, is why he continued to go, and that's what makes this a stranger story. And at least it can be repaired, and the company that's doing the repairs is a company that's worked on the bridge before, so that's all good news right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got a nice story here that we talked about, and that is a video series which takes a look at different aspects in Region 1. Once again, I think it's great that the students get involved and put out something like this.
Well, this was a video produced by a young man named Ted Perotti, who was a graduate.
Yep.
Who's a graduate. And he's a local documentary filmmaker here in East Canaan. And he, with his colleague, Elias Hill, also a HUSI grad, put together a really wonderful film about various aspects of Region 1. They went to all seven schools, and it's really worth taking a look at. You can find it on the videos at region1schools.org. But yes, it is a celebration of our school district, and done by two graduates who still live here and who are working in this vicinity making documentaries.
All right, and a nice story and an interesting press release. The Sharon Playhouse is now opening up with winter performing arts classes for basically people of all ages. It's not just limited to one section or the other. They've got a whole series, a large series of classes.
Yes, and it's for you know, different kinds of instruction, basic movement, pre-ballet, regular ballet, dance, singing, acting, you name it. And this is the winter program that they are putting together, and there's a link in the paper. If you just go to www.sharonplayhouse.org classes, you will find it.
All right, and I spoke to Willie Hallahan about this, and it's something that sells out each year they do it, and that is the White Hart getting together with the Salisbury Winter Sports Association, and their big pot pie dinner is coming up on the 18th, and only 100 pot pies are available for purchase.
Right, you said it all. Mashed potatoes and English flapjacks. It's coming up, $30.
And you can contact Provisions at the White Hart. And if you want more information, you can also go to jumpfest.org.
Right.
Noble Horizons, once again, always has great programs for actually the public and for their residents. They have a diversity program discussion set for January 21st at Noble Horizons.
Yeah, this is a talk that's scheduled coming up on January 21st, and it's exploring the growth of diversity and inclusion programs and initiatives in business education and in other aspects of our life. The speaker is Lisan Norman, who is a Hotchkiss grad as well as a Brown and Harvard grad, doctorate. And she's worked in corporate America and academia and in the tech industry, and we'll be discussing, you know, this overall program and the impact, the larger positive impact of incorporating it in our communities and society at large.
Moving on to page A3, we'll start off with I think that this affects so many different people in the area, and that is the labor shortage over the course of 2022 and heading into 2023, which it makes it tough for businesses, A, that are coming out of a pandemic, and B, can't find people to work.
Right. What we did this year was, we've done before too, as well as take a look at some of the bigger stories that were in the news last year, even though we're already into the second week of January. Still, I think people are still in the mood to remember last year and think about this year. And the labor shortage was brutal for business last year. Deborah Alexinis wrote a three-part series on this. And we just review briefly to remind everybody what it was like. It was tough on restaurants, businesses. The community pool in Falls Village almost didn't open because they couldn't find lifeguards. So it was just all about the help wanted year we had.
And restaurants really are taking the brunt of this. And also some businesses that have to close their doors because you can't get somebody to work. And there's the old business rules. If the doors aren't open, people get used to the fact and don't come back as much. So it's a real tough year for 2023. Hopefully that'll change.
Yeah.
A couple of stories that look back once again, and that is Yana Hayes surviving her run in 2022, and also both Yana and Congressman Senator Murphy got the Housatonic Wild and Scenic Bill through Congress.
Right. Those are two things. One, we just sort of remind everybody that Hayes had survived in 2022 by a nail biter. We also list how other state offices went briefly. It's just a summary. And then, you know, a beautiful photo by Patrick Sullivan of the Housatonic when it was quite full in a big, fat summer day in 2021. But this is a story about the planning that went into effect starting a whole year ago to give the Housatonic Wild and Scenic status. It's not the only, and it did achieve it this year in Congress. There are four other rivers in Connecticut that have this status. So it's a nice look at that very important piece for the Housatonic.
And an important story that broke at the tail end of 2022, and that is Salisbury Bank, their merger, which is coming up.
Yeah, this story will continue to happen this year because I think the merger planning is to have Salisbury combined with NBT Bank of Norwich, New York, sometime in the first quarter, probably. NBT is a bigger bank with 140 locations, and SBT, as we all know, has popped up in our region to now about 14 branches, exactly 14 branches, in New York and Massachusetts as well. So it's a story about what happened last year. It's not a very long story, but we will continue to keep track of the merger that will happen this year.
All right. Interesting story out of Cornwall. Electricity with citrus circuits.
Yeah. This is part of the library's conversations program. This is a story written by Riley Klein about a son, an electrician, and his son. His son is getting a PhD at UMass and studying electrical engineering, and so they did a conversation at the library demonstrating the fundamentals of electricity and how it flows. I have, in all of my life, have never fully understood electricity. All I know is that it's not my bag. And but I really am sorry I didn't see this, because what they did was demonstrated how metals change trade electrons, and it's almost like a David Pogue episode. They used wires and oranges and lemons and lit up a light bulb. We had to be there. We do have a video on Tri-Corner News, which is really worth looking at.
All right, and a story that I talked about a little bit from your newspaper this morning, and that is the goals and plans that are coming up for Salisbury in 2023.
Yes, this a lot of it focuses on land. The plan is to have meetings with the three land use commissions that's coming up this month, and also to have everybody sort of just think about what we're going to do about solid waste with MIRA closing down. So this is just to take a look at what Salisbury is going to be thinking about in terms of goals and plans for 2023.
All right. It's what's interesting is this past couple of months now, I purchased a machine that takes waste that would go into landfills, and it converts it into soil. All I can tell you is that I've gone from 2.5 full garbage bags a week down to 1/2 of a garbage by getting rid of all this food waste by this way. And I'm not adding nutrients into it. I'm just using it as dirt to fill in. But it goes along with what we have to do, because the future of waste in our area has really got a big question mark with it.
Yeah.
Then you've got Falls Village. They're planning for 2023.
They have announced that they're going to do a survey. It's something that they want everybody in town to be part of. It's taking a look at updating the so-called plan of conservation and development. And this will be, it's on the town website, you know, CanyonFallsVillage.org, and it's open through the end of this month. So they want everybody to sort of, take a look and give your input. This whole idea is to protect the resources and assets that really matter to residents and to guide and, you know, Falls Village into the future. So this is up now, and they encourage everybody to take part.
You got a very small story, but it's a great story. People that have been running the Anchormont House for the past several years have really done a great job, and now they've got an expansion coming up where they got a grant, and they're going to make a center for the arts. I just think it's so great in the times we have that the arts continue to flourish around here.
Well, we didn't have room in our paper for this story. It was in the Millerton News, our sister paper, and it is a pretty wonderful story. The Ankrum Opera House, you know, really is aspiring to become a center for the arts, and this new grant, they had two grants that we write about, and will allow the Opera House to include space for artist and intern housing, as well as community programming. Big story.
Yep. Another story I want to follow, and this and that for Habitat, the thrift store, has closed its doors. And the reason I want to bring it up, not only because it's your story, but before they closed their doors, they contacted we operate a thrift shop, the Bargain Barn, which doesn't carry huge pieces of equipment. They contacted the Bargain Barn and donated to us lots of small things that can go on and be used by the community. But it's too bad to lose the this and that thrift shop.
Yes, I think it definitely has broken some hearts up here because everybody has come to rely on that, and they are having. I didn't know about the Bargain Barn, but that's interesting news. And there is one more weekend of this and that for Habitat sales, and that's this coming weekend. You know, Friday. Through Sunday, from noon to four. So I drove by the other day on Sunday, and it was packed with cars, people hauling big things into the backs of their cars. That amazing puzzle where you try to get a table into a Subaru.
Let's go on. We'll come back and we'll go to Compass in a few moments. I want to go to the opinion and editorial pages. The editorial, Janet, housing is a critical need and the one that should command attention.
Right, and certainly we've given it a lot of attention in our news articles as well as editorials over the years. But what we look at in this editorial is the regional impact. And so both sides of the state line, New York State is having the same kind of problem. I think we had in the paper at one point a billboard that went up in Armenia pointing to the need for affordable housing in the community, and it is in every community in the region. And so this is something we all need to look at and see the bigger picture, not just our own small town and what's right next door to us, you know, that we want or don't want.
Taking a look, by the way, of course, one of my favorite parts of the paper is turning back the pages, but some of the letters to the editor. And the first one I'll talk about is the life-saving care at Sharon Hospital. And then the second letter, which people should read, service here is exceptional.
Right. It is, you know, these letters just came in at the same time because these incidents happened at the same time. And I think a lot of people know Elise Harney, of course. Elise Harney Real Estate has been here for decades and decades, and talks about the great care she got in the emergency department, and talks about her grandson also receiving great care. And so we're happy she's still with us and that Sharon Hospital was able to find a way to make that happen. And Roger Lowry also had a really good experience. You know, the holidays are a time that things come up suddenly, and we need help. And this is really a great thing that happened where he needed service. It was Parades who came up and helped him. But, you know, it's an area that we do reach out and help each other, and our letter writers like to tell us about that.
All right, and a good letter from Jeanette Weber, the president of the Salisbury Association, talking about the Pope property.
Yes, and, you know, we had a correction in on this. This goes back to when we were talking about land trust and the Pope property in Salisbury, and we had a correction in the paper, but Jeanette gets more in-depth on it in this letter. So, you know, if anybody has anything more to tell us about that, we'd love to hear, and it could turn into another article, or by all means contact Jeanette and discuss it with her, too.
And letter for an open letter to New Vance Health Administration and the Sharon Hospital Board of Directors.
Right. This is from Chauvin Rooney, and a local woman from Sharon who has four children, and she describes her experience, which was exceptional at Sharon Hospital as well, but, you know, looks at the labor and delivery issues that face the community right now.
All right. Viewpoint has, once again, a lot different articles on different viewpoints.
Correct. Charles Church wrote rather regularly for us for a number of years on what was happening in Guantanamo Bay, because he has firsthand knowledge of it. And in last week's and this week's Lakeville Journal, he discusses the torture that happened, justified by so many falsehoods, of his client, Abu Zabudaya. And don't miss it. It's something you won't see anywhere else. And if you missed last week's piece, by all means, go back at tricornernews.com and read it. It's open to everybody to read. And read this one as well. You'll be enlightened.
All right. We have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, John, for Compass.
Okay. Well, Alex Wilburn has done a nice interview with two people who produced a film that's going to be shown at the movie house on Saturday night. It's called A Vow from Hiroshima. And it was kind of the story of a woman who is a survivor of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima in 1945. And this woman who made it her nuclear disarmament, her life's mission, has actually won the Nobel Peace Prize for this. So the film, this interview really sort of tracks the thought process of both the director and Sharon resident Susan Strickler, who directed the film, on making this film, which is, as I said, will be on show Saturday night. So it's a really nice, dive into what was the thinking behind it, how did this film materialize, what does the film attempt to accomplish, and I recommend taking a look at it if you can get to the film. That's also a great idea.
All right. This and much, much more in the Lakeville Journal, Millerton News, also TriCornerNews.com. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
All right. Thanks. Have a good
year.
Take
care.
Have a good day. Bye.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. All right, I'll push the button. No squeaks, no squeals. For a while.
Jill,
have a great day.
Thanks for listening.